Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is soon to come.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways on this morning, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle and all continually to be well with you and yours. I want to take this opportunity to send condolences out to all of you that are out there in my digital broadcast that have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, the last 12 hours, the last 8 hours, the last 6 hours, an hour ago, 30 minutes ago, a moment ago. I want you to know that God has sisters and brothers, pilgrims, all around this planet Earth that are praying for you and with you in your hour of bereavement. And may God restore restoration unto your soul. All right, before we come across these skyways, or as we approach our podium, we dare not to acknowledge the one and the only, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus, and he is a native of Nazareth and born in Bethlehem. We want to acknowledge him on this morning. I'm asking all of you that are out there listening to bow your beautiful heads with me as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. Hallelujah, for we know that this earthly planet, God, that we're treading on is not our eternal destination. But we know that one of these old days you're going to crack that cloud. Hallelujah, and you're going to appear in all your glory. But until that time comes, we will continue to mount up before the four corners of this earth, the north, south, east, and west, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you, hallelujah, God, to anoint these lips of clay. I want to be able to bring over my word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the temple say amen and amen. I so graciously thank those of you that were able to tune in this morning on such short notice. But you know, I'm kind of a night owl at this time. I have sleep apnea, and so I tend to stay up various times and hours. So I just try to fill in those times with things that I would want God to just input in my heart and my spirit. And so I wanted to come across these airways and skyways on this morning and share, hallelujah, the complete story, hallelujah, with you on this morning. And I want you to get your iPhone. I want you to get your tablet. I want you to get your laptop and all of your digital devices and bring them aboard this morning. For we are in need of them. I want you to just get comfortable. Whatever you might, beverages that you might have, may it be latte, OJ, W2O, whatever suits your fancy. Just come aboard and allow me to bring unto you the divine word of truth. We're going to go right now on into a service that's already in progression. Our sermon on this morning entitled The Complete Story. You might say, Overseer, what would you mean the complete story? We're talking about Jesus. That's the baby that we're talking about, and we're celebrating the baby on this morning. And we're going to go right now, and we're going to read from our first key scripture. And it reads, hallelujah, like this. It says that, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Revelation 1:7. All right, we're going to move down to our second key scripture for this morning. And it reads this. Hallelujah. It says, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 2:11. And we know that this time of year, people will be going here and there, and everywhere, shopping, traveling by train, by airway, by automobile. Hallelujah. And so we know that everyone is trying to get that loved one, that special gift, that divine gift this time of year. But we fail to really realize just who is really important at this time of year. I'm not saying that gifts are not a good thing, because God would, you know, desire us to give and exchange the gifts. But I just want to set the record straight, because we know that this is Jesus' celebration. And we know that without him, we would not exist. So we know that Jesus is the reason for the season. And you might ask, you know, about the complete story. And so we know that since Jesus is the reason for the season, then he is our main focus point on this morning. I'm going to ask you this question. Why do we celebrate Jesus' birthday so differently from other birthdays? We know that when it's time to honor historical figures who have a day set aside for them, we don't think about them as babies. We don't have pictures of cute little Abraham Lincoln in his log cabin. We remember him for his contributions as an adult. It is proper, though, that we celebrate Jesus as a child. Just think about it for a moment. When he was born We are told that the shepherd came to honor him in the law of Luke 2:15-16. Then later we are told that the wise men from the east brought him gifts. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 2:8-12. And these people had no idea what Christ would eventually accomplish as an adult. But they would, hallelujah, was right in doing what they did, because we're told that Jesus' birth was the most remarkable event in human history. So we are told that Jesus set the stage of being, hallelujah, the Son of God. And he came in human form. Now, how amazing that God in human form, the creator of the universe, visiting this planet. So I would say to you, let's never hesitate to celebrate this baby at Christmas. We can marvel at his incarnation, stand in awe of the tiny baby who had created his worshipers, then step back and wonder, for the story get even better, this baby grew into manhood. He lived a perfect life and willingly died for yours and mine's and our sins. So in this, we celebrate the baby and we trust the Savior that how to make Christmas complete. And so we say that how wonderful that we are on Christmas morn. Though centuries has passed since Christ was born, may worship still the living Lord, amen, our Savior Jesus, baby of Bethlehem. And we know that wise men today worship not only the child of Bethlehem, but also the man of Calvary. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. And we also know that the miracles surrounding the birth of Jesus, hallelujah, it combined the telltale fingerprints of God and all the awkward actions that might bring to any situation. We're told that the angels announced and human question. They doubted cowardly and reacted. We're told that the stars moved across the sky and people wondered, and they wondered, perhaps the greatest miracle is simply that God accomplished so much with such reluctant participants. Hallelujah. But here and there, God found men and women who stepped out in faith, discovered that God does what he promised. We know that the incarnation may now be a matter of public record, but the event itself, hallelujah, had all the marks of a sneak attack. Creation was prepped for God's visit, yet the mode and the method of his coming caught everyone by surprise. We know that the power of evil were printed for a battle, but they never expected God to slip into their stronghold as a baby. These meditations will explore the unexpected lessons and insights surrounding Jesus' birth. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you and I a sign. Say, look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. This is the way that God entered into humanity to bring a second Adam. God, the Son, enfleshed himself, the Holy Spirit bringing about conception. We're told that the virgin, beginning without the intervention of the normal reproductive cycle of man. But this is why Jesus is called the Son of God. He was not the son of Joseph. He was not the son of Roman soldiers. He was not the son of any human father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. God brought about virtually a second creation, a second man, without the original sin of the male line from Adam, linking Jesus into the family tree of Mary. However, made him a descendant of David and Abraham, which will fulfill the various promises that God had made to them. Furthermore, it was from his mother, Mary, that the Lord received his human nature. So Jesus Christ was unique, conceived by the Holy Spirit, but of the house and lineage of David. That scripture reading is coming out of Luke 2 and 4. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And so, we say that we're celebrating the baby Jesus. You who are far away, hear what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my power. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know one thing, and that is this. You simply cannot disentangle Jesus from miracles. Scholars in the last century tried very hard to discover a non-miraculous Jesus. They utterly failed every single started a material in the gospel that shows that Jesus, as someone who was different in his power from other people, through him God acted in a way impossible to understand. And if you and I think of him simply as a good man, then the miracles began at his birth without human father. They continue in his ministry, miracles of healing and of exorcism, nature miracles such as his feeding of the multitude, or his walking on the sea in a storm, and supremely his raising from the dead Lazarus. Hallelujah. Also Jairus' daughter. And that was the last of all the greatest of miracles. His own resurrection from the grave, not just to a further span of the life, but to a new quality of life, over which death has no power. That is the only Jesus for whom there is any shade of evidence. Remarkably being, exercising unheard of powers. He exhibited miraculous powers, and not once or twice, but continually. And we know that Isaiah 7 and 14 says that, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now let us notice at the very first glance his miraculous, hallelujah, conception. I'm sorry. And it was a thing unheard of, being as unparalleled, since that a virgin should conceive and bear a son. The first promise concerned that the seed of the woman and not the offspring of the man. Hallelujah. Since a venturesome woman, she led the way in the sin that resulted in paradise. Hallelujah. She and she alone ushered in the regainer of paradise. His mother had been described, we're talking about Mary, simply described as the virgin. She wasn't a prince, she wasn't a prophetess, nor a woman of influence. True, the blood of kings ran in her veins. Her mind was not weak or untaught, for she could sweetly sing a song of praise, yet how humble her position. How poor the man of whom she was engaged. How miserable the accommodations provided for the newborn king. Emmanuel, God with us, in our nature, in our sorrow, in our daily work, in our punishment, in our death, and now with us, or rather we with him, in resurrection, ascension, triumphant, and second advent splendor. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. We know that when the mighty angel entered that humble home in Nazareth, he was unannounced, and he called Mary by name. The teenage girl must have looked like she'd seen a ghost. Gabriel recognized Mary's fear and told her not to be afraid. Then he told her something that would have seemingly frightened her even the more. She wasn't married and was still sexually innocent. She was about to have a baby. Not just any baby, however. This child will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Luke 1:32. This child would be the promised Messiah. Hallelujah. The angel instructed Mary to give her child an Aramaic name, Jesus, like the Hebrew equivalent to Joshua. And the name means the Lord saves. Only the sinless son of Mary had ever offered living and dying. And that's proof that Lord had saved you and I from our sins. He did it on the cross. The reason there is something about the name Jesus is because there is something unique about the one who was given that name. He is Master. He is Savior. Eternal King. He is Jesus, who save us from our sins. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And we know that Mary said to the angel, but how can this be? I've never slept with a man. We know that your righteous life is every day to be a proof that God works impossibilities. Your religion life is to be a series of impossibilities made possible and actual by God's almighty power. That is what the Christian need. He had an almighty, hallelujah, God that he worshiped. And he must learn to understand that he does not need a little of God's power, but he needs with reverence, be it said, the whole of God. Omnipotent to keep him right and to live like a Christian. We know that the whole of Christianity is a work of God's omnipotence. Look at the birth of Jesus Christ. That was a miracle of divine power. And it was said to Mary, with God nothing shall be impossible. It was the omnipotence of God. Look at Christ's resurrection. We are taught that it was according to the exceedingly greatness of his mighty power that God raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that at this very time of year, we think about the birth of the Savior. We think about the events of his birth, and they are as vital, important yet. We would do well to reflect also on his early ministry, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promised return. Our redemption would be incomplete if any element were missing. But it is fitting, therefore, to share with you, hallelujah, the rest of this story. We want to sing of shepherds and the holy glory bright of angels and their message of that peaceful holy night. But so often we end the story when it's only just begun. But we fail to give the message that this child is God the Son. Here to give himself a ransom, crucified on Calvary's tree. Through his blood, providing pardon, perfect cleansing, full and free. And the tomb, thank God, is empty. Jesus sit at God's right hand. Now, loving, mighty Savior, spread the news to every land. The one born in Bethlehem was none other than God in human flesh. Having lived a perfect life, he died an awful death to pay the price for the sin of mankind. Now he's in heaven. Any day he could return. How wonderful to know the complete story. Our sermon tonight, / this morning, because I know it's night here, and it could be day elsewhere around the world. But we have been talking about the complete story. Celebrate the baby. The birth of Christ brought God to man. The cross of Christ bring man to God. Hallelujah. So I would just encourage you on today, don't celebrate Christmas without celebrating the Christ. The Christ child who paved the way that you and I might have life more abundantly, that we would have a second chance at life and at liberty, and that we would have a chance to live eternally with God forever and ever. And those of you that have a relationship with God, yes, we know that we lose as loved ones. We're going to continue to lose loved ones as long as we exist on this planet. But just know when you have a relationship with Christ, you can go through sadness in a more positive manner than if you didn't know God. And even sometimes in this life, in this journey, when we lose loved ones, we ask God, God, why? Why did you take my mom? Why did you take my father? Why did you take my spouse? Why did you take my infant baby? Why did you take my infant nephew? Why did you take my cousin, my grandparents? Why? We ask God, why? But we know that God never makes a mistake. We know that whatever God does, he does it for our own good. God doesn't do anything to hurt us or to harm us, but to bring us in a learning process to get more closer to him, because we know that God is a jealous God. God don't want you to get entwined with your Christmas tree, with your decoration, with your shopping itinerary, and leaving him out. God wants you to bring him in, because he is the reason for the season that you and I exist here this morning. He is the complete story. That's what we're talking about this morning. He is to be the celebrated baby. Hallelujah, because if Christ had not have went to that rugged cross called Calvary and died such an awful death, we would be doomed today. We wouldn't have this chance, this second opportunity to get our life together. Hallelujah, that the sin that Adam brought on by being disobedient in the Garden of Eden, that's where sin first began, disobedient. Hallelujah. So God went to the cross, but he said this one thing. He said, It's not my will that I go and die. So I don't get a kick out of going and dying and giving up my life. He said, but it is the will of my Father that I go and that I die. So God was doing the will of his Father when he was hung. The Bible said that they hung him high and they spreaded him wide. Nail in his left hand. Nail in his right hand. And then the Bible says that one foot was placed upon the other parallel. And then they drove a spike into the top layer of his feet down to the very flesh of the second feet. They pierced him in the side. They gave him 39 lashes across the side. Then a crown of thorns was placed on his head. Not anyone on this planet known to mankind to die such a horrendous death as Jesus Christ did. But that was the proof in the pudding right there, that God loved you and I today. Don't let the devil contaminate your mind into thinking that God don't care anything about you. God does not love you because God loved you. God proved to you that he loved you when he went to Calvary Cross. Over 2,000 light years ago, God proved his love for you and I. God continually to prove his love to you and I every day. Every day that we live. Hallelujah. We know that Jesus is stretching out his hand. He's knocking at the door of someone's heart right now. God has been trying to get your attention, but you've been so busy. You know, you said, well, I'm on vacation right now, God. Wait till I come back, and maybe you can talk to me now. Some of you have been at your workplace. You said, well, I'm at work right now, God. I'm unable to talk with you because I'm trying to get my work done. So you put God off. You said, well, come back later. So God goes away. And so it seemed like, you know, God has been put on the back burner. There's no time for God in your life. So it seems. So God said, well, you know, I've been trying to knock at the door of your heart, but you always send me away and you tell me to come back another day. So God is God. So, you know, he does as he pleases. But, you know, as I first stated earlier, that God is a jealous God. God don't want us to get too wrapped up in our babies. May it be a older baby, you know, if he's a grown baby, if he's an infant baby, if he's your husband, if that's your wife. God wants to be front and center of your life. If God can't be number one, he's not going to be second best. And sometimes God has to get our attention in ways that we cannot understand. Sometimes God come and take a loved one that's dear to our heart and our soul. But that's not to hurt us. That's to get our undivided attention. Because like I said, God has been trying to get your attention before. But you told him, God, you know, I'm busy right now. I got this exam that's coming up, so I'm trying to study for that. So I don't have time right now. Can you come back when I finish studying? And then we can talk at that time. Seems like the right time never comes around. So what God does the imaginable to the mortal mind of man. See, we can never understand God. Never understand God. So it's not even a necessity to even try. Because we can never understand God. How he thinks. Because we would probably have an aneurysm in the brains. Our brains would explode trying to figure Jesus out. But God will get mine and yours and our attention one way or the other. And so God said, I've been waiting on you, but yet you turn me away. God do not want not one of his sheep out of the 100. He don't even want the 99 lost. Without knowing God. You know, we're living in a world to where we never know where death is. But one thing is for certain, that you won't have time to put God off. That is one appointment that you will make and you will not be late. But God is knocking at the door of your heart on this morning. He's wanting to come and sup with you. He's wanting to make himself known in your heart, in that house, heart of yours. He's wanting to take up house in your heart. He is designed to be your Lord and your Savior. He wants you to depend on him. Don't depend on your bank account, your check balance, your 401k, your retirement. Your divorce, alimony. But God is wanting you to depend solely on him. And so God will continually to get your attention. He will, you know, just go all out to keep at you until he gets your attention. Unless you tell him, you know, God, just leave me alone and don't bother me anymore. Now, God will not force himself on anyone. If you tell God you don't want him and to leave you alone, and God is trying to get your attention and try to set housekeeping in your heart to take away the old you and replace it with a new, improved you, where God resonate and live and have his being. God is not going to drag us to heaven by our toupee, by our ponytail, by our wig, by our leg. God is not going to drag us anywhere. But what God will do, he will come and knock at the door of our heart. Because that's the most important thing to God, is our heart. He said, only the pure in heart shall see me. So we know that if our heart is not pure, you're not going to see God. You know, if you don't have the right mindset, the right heart set, that you're not going to see God. And God said that I did not come to be served, but I come to serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And to give his life a ransom for many. And even though we know that millions millions will celebrate Jesus' birthday. But we find out few seems to be aware of the real significance. We realize that his birth was unusual because he was born of a virgin. His life was unique. He was the only one who lived without sinning. His death was also unusual. Jesus was not a murderer. He was not the victim of unfortunate circumstances. But we know that Jesus died, and he died for a worthy cause. He laid down his life. He said, "No one take my life. I lay my life down." And in 3 days, Jesus picked his life back up. Hallelujah. We know that his life was just to set a good example. But it's much more than that. We know that the Lord Jesus, he came into this world to be our Savior. Jesus himself said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason for him knocking at the door of your heart on this morning. We know that in the law of Luke 19 and 10, who are the lost? The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned. It's not one that said that have not sinned. Because we was born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned. And that the wages of sin is death. God said that in order to save the world, Jesus had to die for it. He came and he lived the perfect life and then he died the death that we should have died ourselves. But we know that the true meaning of Christmas is that Jesus was born to die because he was crucified and then he rose from the dead. Forgiveness of sin and assurance of heaven is now offered to all who believe. That scripture reading is coming out of John 1 and 12. So I want to ask you once again on this morning, have you accepted God, his gift of salvation? If not, I would encourage you to do so today, because this will be your most meaningful Christmas ever, is to accept God into your life, to be your Lord and Savior. You will never be the same. You will never regret the new life that awaits you. God offers new life. What more could he give? He sent the Redeemer that sinners might live. But I want to tell you that unless we see the cross unshattering the cradle, we have lost the real meaning of Christ's birth. And that is the complete story. We celebrate the baby Jesus. Hallelujah. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would desire the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal, Digital, Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive too. Overseer Janice Boyd, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. Our web address is www.janiceboydministry.org. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program, bringing you hymns of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. And until we come across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Let God be your American Express. Don't dare to leave home without him. He is people friendly. Listen up to hymns of Zion. Be encouraged. God bless you. Bye for now. Up next, hymns of Zion.
My brother, he's a comfort and joy. Thank you. Christmas. Make a season bright. From now on, all troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Thank you.
everybody stand up on your feet and make some noise for one of the most phenomenal female groups of our time. Jackie, Dorinda, Karen, Twinkie, the Clark Sisters.
I'm living up next to the line. Thank you.